Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio, this is your Metro Kia of Madison Sports Center.
Good morning, Madison and streamers everywhere. My name is Riley Yauch, and this is your Sports Center update, brought to you by Celebrations Entertainment. Complete event services for weddings, corporate events, nonprofit events, outdoor movies, casino nights, and much more. Go to CelebrationsEntertainment.com to get started today. Just heard us talking about it. The Milwaukee Bucks were making roster moves at an absolute breakneck pace yesterday. So in case you missed it, need a refresher, here's a quick summary. In the most consequential move of the day, Milwaukee waived Damian Lillard, stretching out the $113 million they owe him over the next 5 years. This is the largest contract waiver in NBA history, so they could afford to sign former Pacers center Miles Turner in a four-year, $107 million deal. The Bucks also traded Pat Connaughton and two picks to the Hornets for Serbian guard Vasilije Micic. They re-signed center Jericho Sims and signed veteran guard Gary Harris to a two-year deal. The Brewers are also back in action today with a doubleheader against the Mets after some rain postponed yesterday's affair. Game 1 begins at 12:10 Central with pregame at 11:35.
Metro Kia of Madison, Madison's trusted Kia dealer. Stop into Metro Kia on the east side of Madison or MetroKiaOfMadison.com.
Wisconsin, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and on YouTube. No Jason Wilde today. No Jason Wilde tomorrow as well. Jesse and Tausch holding it down with Riley Yauch. It is our cousin sub of the day producing today's show. We do have a second round of Wilde and Tausch trivia on a Wisconsin Geography Wednesday coming up next. So if you're interested in playing or want to play along at home, don't go anywhere. That's coming up next. But I want to continue the conversation about Giannis and the Bucks and the moves that the Bucks made in free agency yesterday. So Tausch, you have some reservations and some hesitations now 24 hours removed.
I think it's the, you know, if you have kids, you give them a bunch of sugar and they're all jacked up and fired up and running around and, oh, every life is great. And then the sugar high crashes. I'm feeling a little bit of that.
You're
today.
Feeling the sugar high crash today.
I was excited because it started out, oh, we signed the best free agent big guy available. Brook Lopez leaves. We all kind of thought he's getting a little long in the tooth. We need, you know, rim protection and someone that could, a stretch five that you can play with Giannis, perfect fit. Awesome. And then you start looking at the ramifications of it. Milwaukee basically has brought back a lot of the same guys from last year's back end of their team. You still have Kuz. There's still, you know, whether or not we can chase down a championship, I'd say it's unlikely at this point, but it's better than what it was. But then when you start hearing of all of the price that you paid and what you got from Dalla Dame and what you're going to still have to pay him, that's going to hurt your cap. If it was just a 113 and that was it, I like it more, but now it's another 20-some-odd million that you're not going to be able to get other players, and you don't have draft picks. And are you that much closer to a championship? You're better than you were, but does that mean you're good enough to do it? And I think Homer's point with Boston and Indy both missing their star guys for an extended period of time, Dame is going to be a high-priority free agent for somebody else. Is he going to go to the Heat or the Celtics and end up coming back to bite you? Like, there's just so much other stuff that I hadn't really thought through completely. And today, after listening to some of these experts get into it, it's a big year. It's a big year for Milwaukee. And if things don't go well, it's going to be one ugly, ugly hangover.
Maybe I'm still on the sugar high, but I am excited about what they did yesterday.
I was excited yesterday. I'm less excited today.
I'm excited still because
this show, they don't make the Miles Turner move if they don't know that they're going to be running this thing back with Giannis. That's my perception of this thing. You don't make this move. You don't make that financial commitment
for this year.
For this particular year, knowing that you think you can still win a championship when having the best player on the floor in the Eastern Conference and you get a chance to win a best of seven series. The Bucks legitimately believe that they are in position to do that with Giannis on the floor healthy and with the addition of Miles Turner and the other pieces that they have. All the moves they made, Bobby Portis, Gary, all the moves, to me indicate that they believe that they can still be the best team in the Eastern Conference next year. With the landscape being what it is, for Tatum being out with the Celtics, for Halliburton being out with the Pacers, for the Knicks not knowing who their head coach is going to be yet. Like, all these things play a factor. If the Magic and the Hawks are the other teams that have stock up in the offseason, I feel good that the Bucks are now in that same conversation with those other teams about being contenders in the East next year. I think the Bucks realize that, and that's why they made the decisions that they did to appease Giannis, to bring him back, to make sure that they're going to still have a chance to compete in the East next year. And then you figure it out after that, because the NBA changes so frequently that you don't know what it's going to look like 2 years from now, 3 years from now. There's all these crazy changes that can happen everywhere. You can only focus on when you have the best player in the world that we believe Giannis is. When he is on the team, you do everything you can to win a championship every time. And if it means a couple of years down the road, it's going to be a rebuild and there's going to be some difficult situations, that's okay if it gives you a chance to be in the mix to win another title this year.
Yeah, but in the mix is just different. Like, in the mix, what does that mean?
But there is no clear-cut team that's above the rest in
Cavaliers
the East going
are.
Into the... We don't even mention them when we talk about all these other... Yeah, you
New
do.
New York is.
But everyone else is talking Knicks and Celtics and Pacers
Celtics,
and
nobody's talking.
Hawks and Magic.
They've gutted a big chunk of their team, and I still think Celtics-Bucks right now, it's probably a coin toss.
But the Cavs bowed out in an ugly way in the second round of the playoffs this year.
The Bucks have been out of the first round the last 3 years.
If the Bucks played the Cavs in the playoffs, would Giannis be the best player on the floor?
I went to a Bucks-Cavs game at Fiserv on a Sunday night, and the Cavs just beat us into the dirt.
Understood. But if the Bucks played the Cavs in the playoffs, is Giannis the
best?
We were
fully healthy. Dame was playing.
Is Giannis the best player
yes.
on the floor? Then that gives me all the hope I need as a Bucks fan. If we have the best player on the floor, the NBA is not football. It doesn't matter if you have the best quarterback and everyone else around you sucks. If Giannis is on the floor, the Bucks have a chance to beat any team. I believe that. I've believed that for 8 years.
Well, you've been wrong seven.
But I was right one.
It's fair.
And we don't know a couple of them because he was hurt.
I guess
we don't know where they would have gone.
I guess I'm just realistically looking at it and saying, yeah, the Bucks are better. How long is this going to keep Giannis here? Because now it is a year-to-year deal. And if this thing implodes, I guess you could trade Giannis and get a bunch of picks. But there's probably ways that you could do that still. That would be kind of where you're at. But I don't feel as good. I just don't. I felt really good yesterday. I'm not down in the dumps. I think it was the right move. But I just now looking back, and it's everything is easier from the cheap seats, Charlie. And the cheap seats tell you that that Dame trade was god-awful. And it is leaving residue within this organization for a long time. And I don't know if you can overcome what they're going to have to overcome. It'll be this year. Because Giannis ain't getting younger. I don't know. I am going to be optimistic, and I am going to say, let's go. Let's get this done this year. But realizing this whole thing is very fragile. Like, very fragile.
The Bucks 2 years with Damian Lillard essentially ended up being what the Brooklyn Nets had for 2 years with their big three. With KD and Kyrie Irving.
No, we didn't even sniff. The guy was a shoelace short of going to an Eastern Conference Finals. We weren't nowhere close to that.
We were in the playoffs with guys hurt and the collection of
we
the
never
group
made
never
it to
was...
the Eastern Conference Finals. No. They're a shoelace away from there. How do you even make that comp?
Because
and Kyrie Irving was out of the game or could barely play, or James Harden.
That's what I'm saying. Giannis, Dame, and Chris were never healthy at the same time together in the playoffs.
We'll what does
never,
that have to do with this we'll year? Never, neither of those guys are on the team
We can
anymore.
Look back now that it's over and say it was an abject failure bringing
yes.
Dame in for 2 years, but it was the right thing we felt at the time to do then, and we'll never know because
I've
it never came to fruition.
I literally said that exact same thing, but
yeah.
Sports is about results. The process was okay. The results sucked. There's no way of getting around it. And the problem is, you haven't even felt any of the pain of what you had to give up yet. Because you're giving up. Nobody would sit here and tell you the Drew Holiday trade was a bust. It worked because you won. And a championship in 50 years, you take it and you run with it. This, pretty tough to spin this in a positive way.
Wildy and Tausch Trivia Round 2 is coming up next, presented by Vortex Golf. Wildy and Tausch Trivia Round 2, Wisconsin Geography Wednesday, 844-770-3776. Caller number 12 for Wildy and Tausch Trivia. Caller 12 at 844-770-3776. Riley Yauch standing by to take your trivia contestant calls while Tausch tells us once again about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
And for windows with the strongest resilience, you need the Pella Experience. The Pella Experience Center will let you see it, feel it, open it, close it, compare dozens of windows and door options, and you can do it all side by side with Pella's 7 different Pella lines. Stop by soon, though, because if you order by July 31st, you get zero interest for up to 5 years. That's how long we're going to be paying off Dollar Team's contract.
Sure is.
And you'll be paying zero interest with Pella. Visit the Pella Experience Center in Brookfield or schedule your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com. Certain restrictions do apply.
12-844-770-3776, presented by Vortex Golf. Wildy and Tausch Trivia is next. Wildy and Tausch back with you. Jesse and Tausch. Jason has the remaining shows this week off. He will be at Summerfest on Saturday afternoon, State of the Packers show. We're going to play trivia in just a moment here, presented by Vortex Golf. Just a quick housekeeping note. Coming up next, ESPN Madison going to switch over to the Milwaukee Brewers game, game one of the doubleheader today against the New York Mets. So Brewers-Mets coming up next on ESPN Madison. Because of the logistics, the video stream will conclude after this segment today. So the video stream will, sorry for the dwellers on YouTube and everyone watching on social media, YouTube and video stream will conclude after this segment. You can still find us on the ESPN Wisconsin app and, of course, on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee and 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. And with that, it is time for round two of Wildy and Tausch Trivia, presented by Vortex Golf.
Wildy and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Vortex Golf. Rangefinders you can bet on.
We welcome in our contestant, Chris in Cedarburg, for round two of Wildy and Tausch Trivia today. Chris, how you doing?
I'm good. This is my first time having a Jesse co-hosted trivia segment.
Oh, isn't that lucky for you, Chris? Hopefully it's your lucky day because of it. We'll see how well you fare. Here is question number one. I wrote these, by the way. Up North Joe got suspended for round two, so I wrote these ones now. Which lakefront city is home to the Lakeshore Chinooks Northwoods League baseball team? Where Alex Strofe threw a terrible first pitch last week. Is it Mequon, Mequonago, or Manitowoc?
Mequon.
That is Mequon. That is correct. I was trying to go with like a baseball pun, and I didn't have a better one than Manitowoc. I'd work on that. Thanks, Kay.
Well, if a contestant from Cedarburg gets Mequon wrong, I should probably just quit.
Yeah. Call it a day.
That is true. Yep. Question two, Chris. Yep. Latitudinally, which of these Wisconsin cities is located farthest north? Farthest north: Crandon, Crivitz, or Kashina?
Oh, I should know this from the days when my kids played hockey. Crandon, Crivitz, Kashina. I want to go with Crivitz.
Crivitz is pretty far north. But Crandon is further. Crandon, your correct answer there, Chris.
No, I took a wrong turn going up to Eagle River one year and missed and went into Crandon. Yeah,
so that'll happen.
I probably should have known that. Oh, well.
Question three, Chris. Featured in an article from Travel Wisconsin highlighting 8 Wisconsin 4th of July festivals you should find. The Riverfront Rendezvous at Fifner Pioneer Park takes place in which of these Wisconsin cities? Is that in La Crosse, Stevens Point, or Lodi? The Riverfront Rendezvous La Crosse. At Fifner Pioneer Park.
La Crosse.
Very confident.
Very wrong. Sorry, Chris. Stevens Point.
Oh, man.
The correct answer there. So only one right, but you do get 2 of the possible 4 entries for our Vortex swag bag drawing tomorrow. Chris, we're up against it, so I got to bid you farewell. Thanks for playing, man. Happy 4th of July weekend.
All right.
Bye, guys. Happy 4th.
Tausch.
Coors Light. You know what makes a happy 4th? A little Coors Light, whether you're tailgating, you're out on a lake, watching fireworks. Coors Light is beautiful with that. It's brewed with a three-step cold process. It's cold lagered, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged. Make sure those mountains are blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
On ESPN Madison, Brewers Mets coming your way next. We continue with Whoa Riley on ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Beaver Dam. That's next. It's Wildy and Tausch. Tell me I'm a wreck. You say that I'm a mess. How could you expect anything less? Wildy and Tausch back with you. 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. Personally, I thought those are the two stations we always sound the best on anyway. ESPN Madison has left us to take the first of the two Brewers games today in New York City. Brewers-Mets doubleheader action.
They're still doing seven-inning doubleheaders, or is it nine?
So, no, they are not doing seven-inning doubleheaders. I think if they do the... So there's a difference between the traditional doubleheader, which is like 30 minutes between games and then roll it right back and let's play again. Today they're doing the split doubleheader, which is empty the stadium, new tickets for fans to come back in for game two, 3 hours in between.
Yeah, I don't like that. Players don't like that. Fans shouldn't like it. I'm done with that.
So when they did the seven-inning doubleheader, that was during the COVID season, and that was when they played... right away, roll it at traditional doubleheader.
I understand you're doing it because you probably sold tickets to different people, but no. You already are inconveniencing people. Let's just let 30 minutes, boom, get out.
I can confirm, a quick Google search. No, MLB does not currently use seven-inning doubleheaders. They were a temporary measure during the 2020 and 2021 seasons during the COVID pandemic.
I don't think a seven-inning doubleheader would be a bad idea again.
Remember when Madison Bumgarner threw the no-hitter in a seven-inning doubleheader?
Nope, I don't remember that.
Well, it did happen.
Okay, I believe you.
Do we count that?
You asked me if I remember it, and the answer is no.
Fair. I did ask you that. Do we count that as a no-hitter in the scope of baseball history?
I do. Yeah.
That seems very unlike you to do.
Why?
Because it was a seven-inning doubleheader.
You do what is asked of you to do. And if that's what they ask you to do, you do it. What else do you want him to do? Do you want him to go throw two more innings of local BP down at the park to get to nine?
I just want an asterisk.
And they said seven innings, what's your plan? He'd no-hit you for seven.
Now,
is it as sweet as if you did nine? Probably not. But should it count in the record books? Absolutely.
In the baseball record book, however many no-hitters it says there are in baseball history, I want that number and an asterisk. And then I want it to say one was a seven-inning no-hitter by Madison Bumgarner.
This whole asterisk thing, the fact Barry Bonds is in the Hall of Fame, the asterisk needs to go way to White Buffalo. And if they want to recreate it like with all this AI and they're going to get the woolly mammoth back, great. Outside of that, done with it.
And with that, we turn it over to Riley. Out time for Whoa, Riley.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa, Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
All righty, since we're on the topic of doubleheaders, Brewers, Mets, doubleheader today. Going back to the Chicago series, the Cubs opted not to have a doubleheader with the Brewers.
Soft.
Seemingly to avoid the Miz. The Mets are not doing that. They're going to face the Miz today. So now can we confirm that the Chicago Cubs are indeed afraid of the Miz now that the Mets are okay
well,
with this doubleheader?
Like, I don't want 103 miles an hour of gas coming at
me. Have you
with
seen him? Everybody should be afraid of the Miz.
I don't understand how the Cubs can dictate that. Major League Baseball should step in and say, no, we're not going to do the doubleheader. You're here. Just do it. It shouldn't be because, oh, I don't like this matchup. I'm not going to do it. You don't give them that much authority. You're the governing body of your league. What's best for the fans in the league, not for you? No, the Cubs don't get to just pick. What is this, pick your opponent?
Well, they do. I think it has
I'm
to be.
I'm going to pick my starting pitcher. That's what we're doing now. I don't want this. I'd rather have a bullpen day than go against Miz. Yeah, no blank. But that ain't the reality of the world. The Cubs shouldn't dictate what happens.
So there's two.
You got a youth Little League tournament. There's a tournament director. It's not me as a head coach saying, well, I don't really want to play that team. I would prefer that team, and you have to pitch your right fielder who can't throw a strike. Okay, you can't do that in Little League, but you do it in Major Leagues? Come on,
no one's demanding you throw the right fielder into the game. But here, I think it's soft by the Cubs. This isn't the first time the Cubs have had this issue
with
the Brewers.
Why does Major League Baseball let it happen?
Because when it comes to a rainout, and anyone can correct me if I'm wrong, on the Carbliss ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text Line, 844-770-3776, the way that I understand that this goes, because again, this isn't the first time this has come up with the Cubs specifically at Wrigley Field.
This is your third hedge. Just tell me why Major League Baseball lets it happen.
The two teams need to both agree when they want to play the game.
No, that's not what happens.
And if in the case of a tie, the home team is the one that needs to decide, because they're staffing.
Well, then what is the commissioner of Major League Baseball doing then?
What does the commissioner do? Announce his draft picks.
The Major League Baseball. That's it. Major League Baseball is just going to say, oh, shucks. No, the Cubs don't want to face the Miz, so they get to dictate what happens. That's not what a regulatory body is for. Your job is to grow the game and to make it equal. You want to make things. That's what your job is.
If you and
you
I want
competitive balance. You say, just let the Cubs pick. That's not how the world should work in that business.
If you and I want more pencils in the Everlight Solar Studio here at ESPN Madison, we don't call Craig Karmazin and say, Craig, we need more pencils. We talked to, there's a chain of hierarchy. You don't just call Rob
Manfred. Whoever
is
in charge of scheduling should be fired then. Because what are they doing?
They're allowing.
Yeah, I'm not asking Karmazin to do it, but I'm asking Ben Wittes to do it. And if he doesn't want to, I'll go buy my own blank and pencils.
You would. I know you would. And that's essentially what the Cubs are doing. The Cubs are saying, we don't want to staff a doubleheader tomorrow. We can't do that. The bars are out.
But then I come in here and I say, nobody else can use those pencils. How good is that for the overall team? That's not where this is. That's why you have leadership. And if you don't, you're going to end up like the NC2A. Oh, you know what? I want the World Series to end in September. Well, the Yankees had the best record. But we're going to start the World Series in September. But no, that's what we want. I mean, it's very similar thought process.
You think that the Brewers and Cubs not scheduling a day-night doubleheader
allow things to continue to deteriorate or you let things slide, eventually there's nowhere to stop. And it keeps sliding. And then you scurry like the NCAA is doing. And how is that working out?
Slippery slope, Jesse.
If you're going to be a governing body and you're doing things for the overall league, you don't let one team dictate they don't want a stud pitcher going against them, so we will let them reschedule. I will tell you when your schedule is. Or what is my job?
So the doubleheader that the Brewers and Cubs do have scheduled is in August, on Monday, August 18th. And strategically
speaking, Thursday was a beautiful day. They could have easily gotten two games.
It was a fantastic day. They could have done it. The Brewers were coming back to Minnesota
Cubs dictate it, not let Major League Baseball dictate. If Major League Baseball says, you know what, forecast looks a little dicey, probably only get one game in, let's move it. All right, I'm all right with that. But the fact that the Cubs are saying, I don't want to face Miz, so no, we're going to push this off till August when it could easily rain?
So we're jumping to conclusions, although I think accurately, by saying the Cubs didn't want to face Miz.
And I don't blame them for not wanting to face Miz.
Neither do I. But it's
You know what? That's like the Bucks saying, there's a leak at Fiserv, but yeah, we can play the next day, we'll get it fixed. But Giannis has got a hammy. The Bucks would say, no, let's push this thing till April.
That's a competitive advantage.
Yes.
The roof is fixed. We could play. But nah, I'd rather not because I'm the home team and my star player is unavailable. So
the thing to be most annoyed by here as a Brewers fan is not only that the Miz didn't pitch against the Cubs in that series.
You don't even seem annoyed.
No,
you feel like, what do you want him to do?
I was fired up the day after.
Get some pencils and
Karmazin. We're 2 weeks removed from this being a thing. I'm just not as
fired up. You brought it up. I didn't.
No, Riley brought it up. I was talking about the Mets games today.
Just talking doubleheaders.
So the Brewers do not have a day off from Friday, August 15th until the Tuesday after Labor Day.
Yeah, that's really smart by Major League Baseball to do that.
And during that particular stretch of the season where you're battling for positioning in the
playoffs. That's without other rainouts that are more than likely going to happen, and they'll have to double up and do a doubleheader again. But because the Cubs didn't want to face the Miz, they did this, and Major League Baseball let it happen.
They did. Now, when we get to August 18th, 5 games in 4 days against the Cubs, when you don't play them as much as you used to, is going to be really fun if you're battling for the NL Central Division title. 5 games in 4 days is going to be a massive series. I wish the Miz would have gone in a doubleheader, you know, a few weeks ago, and that would have made more sense for the schedule. Agreed. This is going to be a fun series in late August, but it is
not by the Cubs. If Major League Baseball made this decision, I'm all right with it. If the Cubs did, I think, what is Major League Baseball even doing here? That is my only point on this whole thing. I'm not trying to like be a Brewer homer, if that's what it was. But the fact is, people look at forecasts. They can say, boy, Thursday's going to be gorgeous. It's not about the Miz. It's not. But it is. And that's the part that bothers me. And I think Brewers fans look and say, why would this? What are we doing here?
Yeah, and the Cubs definitely had at least a part in it because the White Sox had a home rainout the same day as the Brewers-Cubs did.
Bet you they did a doubleheader.
And they did a doubleheader the next day.
Soft.
So Cubs definitely had a role.
It's smart and it's weak by the Major League Baseball schedulers. Weak.
Would agree. We got time for one more?
Yeah, let's do one more.
So yesterday, I know you guys have been golfing a lot recently. I was out golfing yesterday, and one of my friends wasn't having
the best
game of his
life. How do you know I've been golfing a lot recently?
Because you guys talk about it.
Okay. I appreciate you listening.
I'm golfing today, but I haven't been out golfing in probably 6 weeks.
Okay, I saw it on the show sheet, so I assumed you had been golfing recently, and this was just an extenuation of that.
Can't trust that show sheet.
I guess not. I was golfing yesterday. One of my friends having sort of a rough game. He was getting very frustrated. And there are a couple times that he missed a few putts. There should have been gimmies. And he takes his ball, picks it up, and just whips it into the woods.
Yeah.
Did that twice. So yeah. I want to know, I thought, honestly, I've seen him worse on the golf course before. What is the appropriate level of anger on the golf course if you're having a rough game?
So first off, let him feel his feelings as long as he's not endangering anybody else. If you want to throw a ball in the woods, I used to, and I was never a hot-headed golfer because I've always kind of known where I'm at. There was a stretch in time that I was close to getting down into single digits. I was like a 10 or an 11. That's about as good as I've ever been. Now golf is strictly entertainment and fun for me. I do still have competitive juices, but I also am a realist, and I am not going to sit there. I might sputter, or what's the word I'm looking for? I might stammer. I might yell for a second, and then I'm done. I'm not going to fire clubs. I might say that's not fair. Like if I hit a great putt, but then it is literally 2 seconds, and I am flipping a switch. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect everyone to do that. That's taken me a while to get to that point.
You just stand on the green and when you
stammer, maybe was the word I was looking for.
You just say, "That's not fair," and then very calmly walk
to
your
ball. I go, "Come on!" That's what I do. I yell, "Come on!" in a big way.
So I'm going to throw my mom under the bus for a minute because one of the more aggravating things.
Because she went to Vegas instead of going to your
birthday party. Nah, it was 4 years ago, and I'm over it now.
I don't know if you are.
I'm trying to angle to Vegas for the Big Ten media days. You think I could get there? You want to go to Vegas?
No, I do not.
Okay.
I just was out there for one or two many days. 4 days, too many days in Las Vegas. 2 days, Vegas.
So when my mom golfs, she'll oftentimes, if she hits a bad shot off the tee or in the fairway, if she kind of chunks one, she'll turn around, she'll go, what am I doing? And she's saying it to herself, but she's also kind of looking for everyone else to offer her advice. And then we start to offer her advice. And then she says, no, that's not right. And then she'll like argue with you about what you're telling her to improve what she did. And then it just makes for an even more frustrating experience. So I don't care if like one person in the group, if you have a bad shot, if you want to be frustrated and you want to throw something, if you want to, you know, don't advocate for this on our fine courses we go to. But if you slam the club down a little bit, like just let it out a little bit some way, you know, calmly and cleanly, go for it. But when you start to like disrupt up the rest of the group and it makes for a poor time for the rest of the people you're with. That's where it starts to get to be too much. Did you feel uncomfortable, Riley, around your buddy at any point yesterday?
No, because we've golfed with him before. We know he gets frustrated, and he's honestly been worse, like yelling and freaking out.
What handicap is this guy?
Not sure. There are a lot of tens. A lot of tens.
So he's not going to score. He's not very good.
Tell him just to get over it. Yeah. He sucks at golf. Yeah. Just embrace it. Do that, or else just go find a different sport. Legit.
Yeah.
People like that, what are you doing? Like, if I can understand. I can
he's
understand.
Young. He's what? No. He's what, 22, 23?
Yeah, 22, 23.
I can understand Arnold Palmer, Phil Mickelson, Tiger, Strick. Any of these guys, when this is your job and your livelihood and things go haywire, I get it. But if you're averaging a 10 a hole golfer and you're going to just beat yourself up and do that because that's, hey, bro, that's who you are as a golfer. Either enjoy it or get out. Why would you go do something recreationally that causes you that much misery? I don't get it.
Great question.
I mean, isn't that?
It's expensive, too, if you're throwing golf balls in the woods.
That's wasteful, I think. Like, throw a tee in the woods.
I disagree. I think every round you should take your ball, unless it's a great round, and I think you should donate it back to the course.
Just give it back?
To give it, like, thank you. Thank you, golf course, for allowing us to have a great day. Here is my gift to you.
So the 30 bucks we paid isn't enough.
Your techniques on the golf course are, that's not fair, and thank you, golf course.
I don't say that's not fair. I just told you. It's, come on! That's what I do. And then, unless I have a sub-80 round, the golf ball is, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right.
That is it for Whoa, Nelly. By the way, speaking of golf and the Miz, I might try to replicate something Tausch failed at last week. We will wrap up with that next. It's Wildy and Tausch. All right, we ready? Jump right in. Hold on, I don't wanna know what it's like when you're gone. I don't wanna move on. I don't wanna know what it's like when you're gone. Wildy and Tausch, Jesse and Tausch today. Jason with a couple of well-deserved days off heading into the 4th of July holiday
weekend.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, he does deserve it.
And he will be on, by the way, this Saturday, the State of the Packers show, live from Summerfest, noon until 3 on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. Jason Wildy, Gabe Neitzel with Alex Stroph, one of our favorite shows we get to experience every year, the State of the Packers. Counting down the days until the start of Packers training camp on July 23rd. I'm counting down until tee time tonight. I'm joining Tier 1 Tyler for golf again this evening. I've been invited back to the squad. The Miz is pitching the 6-10 game of the two Brewers doubleheader matchups tonight, Tausch. Our league tees off at 4:30, and we typically get into the clubhouse around 6:30, 6:45. We're in Edgerton.
Oh, that's a good spot.
So, yeah, it's a decent spot. Like, the TVs are on when you get into the clubhouse.
Sure.
So, the Miz is must-see TV for me as a Brewers fan. This is going to be a huge game tonight against the Mets. If they could try and sweep this doubleheader today, that'd be amazing with Freddie and the Miz pitching.
See how he did
great
that?
Great chance
amazing.
At it.
Mets.
Amazing.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Should I try and do the recorded thing that you tried to do last
sure,
week for
fun.
The Skeens matchup? Or should I just punt on it and say, let's see when we get
I
into the clubhouse?
I think you can try, but understanding that you're going to end up going back into the clubhouse after. Because unlike Riley's buddy, golf is a social deal. This isn't the end of the world. You're going to end up wanting to have a beer, a Coors Light or two after the round. And if you go in there, you're not, what are you going to say? Will you please turn on $25,000 pyramid so I can't watch the Brewer game because I'm taping it at home when everybody else is probably wanting to watch the Brewer game that you're golfing with? I don't think that's a battle you need to fight.
The thing is, if we do golf well, which we probably won't based on my history in this league, but if we golf well, we'll get in there about 6:30-ish, and it'll be just into the game. So I think second, third inning, if we're hopping on at that point,
well,
I'll watch the Miz in the clubhouse.
Skeens is knocked out by then, and you guys still says the greatest thing you ever saw. So if
it's
Miz gets knocked out in the fourth
ever,
inning,
it lived then, up
oh,
to
was
the
great.
Hype.
It lived
is
up
what
to
we
the
said.
Hype. We knocked him out of the box. No, I want to watch more of them. Why, Tom Cruise got killed in the beginning of Top Gun, but the rest of the movie was great. I just never understood that rationale from you guys, but I digress. I'm not going to fight you.
Brewers-Mets doubleheader, 12-10 and 6-10 today. Tausch and I will be back tomorrow. Jason continues to have the rest of the week off until Saturday afternoon. We'll recap the Miz. Thanks to Brian Bulaga. Thanks to Homer for joining us today. Thanks to Riley Yauch as our cousin sub of the day stepping in to produce today's show. That will do it for us today. Enjoy the two Brewers games. We'll be back tomorrow. And as Jason always says, have a great day. Take care. Be good.